Would you turn your Bible to chapter 25 of the book of Jeremiah, please? Chapter 25. The Lord finally was fed up with this idolatrous people of Judah and Israel, especially Judah, and their disobedience and idol worship. He used the King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to teach them unforgettable lessons that even their descendants will not forget. Between the Lord and their disobedient people, there is one prophet, faithful prophet Jeremiah, who almost was a lone voice in the land against all the threats. Let's face it, folks, people generally don't like to hear bad news. So if you go to someone and say, I have a good news and bad news, which one you want to hear? They always say good news first. The bad news, especially when they are surrounded by their enemy, daily food and water are scarce, and people are dying left and right all around because of the disease. The last thing they want to hear is that the enemy outside will come in and win the war, and all of them inside of a city wall will be taken out of their own home country and will be taken to the Babylon. For how long? 70 years. Not 7 days, not 7 weeks, not 7 months, not even 7 years, but 70 years. So this Jeremiah was either plain fool, or he was ever so faithful to his calling as a prophet of God that he would not diminish one word that he was supposed to speak to them. Throughout his call as a prophet of God, Jeremiah encountered so many false prophets that he could not even remember their names. Whenever Jeremiah declared that what the Lord told him to speak, there's always somebody who will come along right behind him or beside him and declaring the false prophecy. And false prophecy that anything that would please people's ears so they can be in the people's popularity. 2,500 years later, we still have so many voices that calls out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. How many people you know amongst the TV evangelists who talk about the good things? And it's hard to find anyone who speaks the truth. I liked what Henry David Thoreau. 19th century American historian. The more we know about the ancient, the more we find that they were like moderns. Isn't that true? Culture has been changed, civilization has been changed, and many things have been changed, but human mentality has not been changed. Verse 1 of chapter 25 of Jeremiah, please. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me. And I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants and the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. Go down to verse 8, please. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, And says the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, note that word, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of a bridegroom, and the voice of a bride, the sound of a millstone, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land will be desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. There are many things in common between the people of Judah at this time and the American people now. They both heard the truth of God and His message enough to follow Him. They do not have an excuse. Yet they defiantly rejected the Lord and are rejecting Him. The Lord sent them numerous unknown prophets previously and had warned of a great judgment that is coming if they don't repent, turn to the Lord. But they ignored all of that. For Jeremiah, it had been preaching to them for 23 long years. How do I know? Because we just read it there. For the first time, the prophet told them that they would be exiled 70 years. For the last 490 years, Israelis ignored what the Lord told them to do, obeying the law of sabbatical laws. In other words, every seventh year, they can work for 6 years. On the seventh year, they do not work on the land. No, they said, we will work. We will make more money. The greed got hold of them. Was this merely about giving rest for the land? No, it's far more than that. It's all about being obedient to the Lord for His commandment and every one of them. This still applies to us. We cannot pick and choose. I've said this many times before. You cannot pick and choose God's commandment as you wish. I like this. No, I don't like that, so I'm going to obey this one, but I'm not going to obey that one. It doesn't work that way. Please note how the Lord addressed the King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, in verse 8. I'm sure that it was very unsettling for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and especially priests and false prophets, and the people in Jerusalem. To them, this Jeremiah got to be a traitor, because he said, the King Nebuchadnezzar, our enemy, is God's servant. Wouldn't you think that? Yeah, I would, if I were in their shoes. But how can we justify that even the King Nebuchadnezzar was not a believer? He was not a believer. God used him as His tools. We need to remember that our God is a sovereign God and can use whatever tools He deemed to use to accomplish His purpose on earth. Even unbelieving leaders like President Obama. Do we like what he does? Absolutely not. But he is not in the office because his smart strategy. He's not in the office because of media. Campbell's and I just talked about it right before we started. He is in the office because God allowed him to be there. This is a stepping stone to destroy the United States, because the United States reject God. There is no other way. Who can destroy the country better than the one who is in the White House? No one. All right, go down to verse 1 of chapter 26, please. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. I want you to underline, circle, highlight. I don't care what you do. I want you to remember the next word, the sentence. Do not what? Diminish a word. Do not diminish a word. By the way, just for the side note, just because chapter 26 is located behind the chapter 25, that doesn't mean this incident happened right after the chapter 25. Remember, this is the Middle Eastern people. They don't care about the chronological order. Okay? They don't care. And we Westerners are the ones who are uptight with everything in chronological order. Go down to verse 7, please. So the priests and prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking this word in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like a Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the prince of Judah heard these things, by the way, go back to the verse 9. Why would they all angry and uptight about it? Because they remember what God's promise to the King David, that he will protect the Jerusalem. He will protect Israel. But listen to me, please. Remember I told you there are two promises of God. One is unconditional promise. The other one is a conditional promise. Unconditional promise like Abrahamic promise, covenant. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That's not conditional. That's promise he made to the entire Israeli people. At the same time, majority of the God's promise is, if you do this, comma, I will do this. It's a conditional promise. And protecting Israel, protecting Jerusalem, protecting Holy Temple, or under the falling into the conditional promise. Are you with me on this? But people have a, what you call it, selective memory, like we do, right? Do you guys have a selective memory too? Don't look at me like you don't have that problem. You just have that problem. Verse 10. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priest and the prophet spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, This man deserved to die, for he has prophesied against the city, as you have heard with your ears. Prophet Jeremiah again preached that what the Lord commanded him to speak, without diminishing word. The false prophet would say anything, as I said, to please the people's ears. To false prophet and priest, the people around them, it was blasphemous for the Jeremiah to declare that God would allow the holy city and temple to be destroyed. Especially to the destructive heathen people's hand. When the Lord put the words in believers' heart to speak, he or she must be obedient to speak them exactly without adding, subtracting, or replacing at all. It is our responsibility to speak to whomever the Lord designates without fear or concern for repercussions. Sometimes I wonder what some of the so-called speak seeker-sensitive church pastors are going to say to the Lord when they meet Him in heaven, or if they ever make it to heaven. Sometimes I have to wonder some of the people's salvation. You know, Jeremiah was rescued by the politicians, princes. That's a really bad situation. Don't you think the politician had to rescue him from the priest? Verse 1, please, chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah. In the fourth year, then, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, son of Azur, the prophet, who was from the Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of being a king of Babylon. Stop there. In chapter 27, which I skipped, it talks about the God speaking to, God giving an instruction to Jeremiah, make a yoke and put it on yourself and send that message to everybody. Yoke is bondage, as you guys know. And anyone who has a yoke, animals who have a yoke, and they are under the bondage of the handler. In this case, the yoke is against Israel by the Babylonians. Jeremiah was talking to the people. He was walking around with a yoke on his shoulder. It was more of an action sermon. And this Hananiah said otherwise. Let's go back. We'll pick it up from the verse 2 again. Thus speak the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Israel, Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to the Babylon. I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of the Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Skip down to the verse 15, please. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make these people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. For Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the seventh month. While Jeremiah was wearing the yoke and preaching the nation to submit to Babylon, and one of the false prophets, Hananiah, spoke against it. According to him, everybody will come back in 2 years. All the vessels of the Lord's house will come back. The things that are taken from the temple will come back. In other words, their honor will be restored. It sounds great. All the people say, go, Hananiah, go, go, go. But Jeremiah said, not so. And as a matter of fact, since you spoke the lie, you will die. What Hananiah said is a directly conflict with Jeremiah's prophecy. We see the footnote at the end of chapter 28. Hananiah's prophecy did not come true, but his life came to an end. This reminds me of the, while I was studying, it reminded me of the incident with Korah. Remember Korah? Numbers chapter 16. Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And in his lofty mind, Korah thought, you are not the only anointed people. We are Levites. We can be just like you. We can hear from God. And who are you? Who do you think you are? And Moses, of course, being a Moses, he fell on his face and prayed to the Lord, and God interceded. And next morning, Moses showed up with Aaron and his rod, and the other side is Korah and his supporters. And whoever gets swallowed up by the earth is not the follower of God. Guess what happened? It was not cyclone. It was not tornado. It was not gentle breeze. Earth just opened up and swallowed up all the Korahs. And Korahites, I guess, whole tribe, and not tribe, whole family went down the drain, to the earth. The worst part is, the next day, people went after Moses again. They said, you did wrong to Korah. It was Moses did this, opening up the earth and killing Korah? No, it was God. It's like, do you get it? People don't get it. People of the Israel would rather, I'm sorry, I didn't change it. People of Israel would rather listen to the Hananiah's easy on the ears prophecy, false prophecy over Jeremiah's truth. It's always the case when we reject the light chastisement of the Lord, we end up getting much heavier chastisement for a longer period of time due to our dumb choices. Isn't that true? I said this, but probably I will repeat it again. Because of my mistakes by resisting God's chastisement, I learn to say when I'm in trial, I ask God, what do you want me to learn? Instead of asking different questions, like a why. If I ask why, that only shows that I am fighting against God. So instead of why, I ask God, what do you want me to learn? My reason? So I can get out of trial fast. No other reason. If you want to call it carnal, call it carnal. I don't like trials. Chapter 29, please. Verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophet or your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts, here's that famous verse, for I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Can you imagine traveling from Israel to Babylon, modern-day Iraq? Do you know the distance? Can you guess? Direct distance is about a little bit below 600 miles. But the road does not go directly because there's too much desert, so they have to go move around like this. I'm guessing somewhere around 800 miles. Think about captives of the war, prisoners of war. Do you think they will put you on a nice cushy chariot? No, you are pretty much on your feet and traveling on your foot. Most likely you don't even have sandals or any footwear. That means you have to walk on bare feet 600, 800 miles, and you're going to get whipped, and thinking about you, you might be traveling with your family, but as soon as you get to Babylon, most likely your wife will be sold to somewhere else, your children will be sold to somewhere else, and you will be sold who knows where. You'll be the regular slaves. Can you imagine that? It doesn't matter what kind of position you had. It doesn't matter how wealthy you were. Now, you are just regular slaves, which means you are property of master. They can kill you if they don't like the way you look. There's no rhyme or reason, and it's nothing against the law. To them, you're foreign slaves. Doesn't mean anything. Think about it. Let's say you're about 40 years old. And you just heard that Jeremiah is telling you, and they're writing a letter to you guys, you are in the Babylon. Okay, in 70 years, you've been in the Babylon for about a couple of years. In 70 years, or minus a couple of years, God promised that you will all come back. You're thinking, I'll never go back to my home country alive. Can you imagine discouragement? Can you imagine the hopelessness? You cannot live without hope. That's why many people going through depression, that's why many people going through the thought of suicide. If they needed the Lord, this is the time. Chapter 29 contains the letters from Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon to give them the word of encouragement without condemnation. He told them how to behave their new place. In their new places. And Jeremiah had a true shepherd's heart. He reminded them about the clean and unclean, kosher and unkosher. And he wanted them to be a good witness for the Lord in the idol central Babylonia. Wishful thinking or the drummed up the false prophecy only give a temporary relief and are followed by the valley of total discouragement. But true hope based on the revealed Word of God. True hope is based on the revealed Word of God. The Lord gives them His promise which cannot be broken under no circumstance. That's a double negative. Sorry. My bad. Should it be any circumstance? If you have not yet, I'd like all of you to memorize Jeremiah 29:11. Let's go back there. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read out loud together. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. The thoughts of the peace and not of evil, to give you the future and the hope. And go down to verse 13, please. And you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. Being an artist, I have a special gift from the Lord. When I listen to my clients, they have this abstract idea. JK, I want this, but I don't know how you're going to make it. A lot of times, I have a final completed the artwork done already in my mind's eye. I see the picture, completed picture, before I even pick up the pencil. How do I do that? I don't know. It's a gift. That's a very tiny, tiny example of what our God is. Before the time ever made by Him, He knew what's going to happen in our lives. Our God already saw the entire future of ours before the time ever began. Am I making sense? We merely see the beginning. God sees the end from the beginning. take heart. We see a blank canvas. God sees a masterpiece in progress. I like the way the Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I like that. Know this, please. God is thinking about you right now. He's not thinking about you merely as a person in the billions and billions of people population and human race, but He's thinking about you. He knows you better than you can ever possibly imagine. Go to Psalms 40, please. Psalm 40, chapter 50, 5, verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Your thoughts toward us cannot be counted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." What does it mean? You see, God's thoughts toward you all and me are continuous, nonstop, innumerable, and because He loves us very much. That's the truth. How can He love you while He is loving me and thinking about me? That's why He's God, we are not. Two applications. Number one, when the Lord put the words in the believer's heart to speak, he or she must be obedient to speak them exactly without adding, subtracting, and replacing. In other words, no editorial article allowed. One more thing, one very important thing. You can do that. You can do what it says, but don't be like Jonah. Do it with love. We are not out there to condemn another sinner. We said it in our website. I like it because I stole it from someone. It was so good that I stole it without any shame. One beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread of life, where to find the living water. Isn't that the truth? Let's tell other people where to find bread of life, where to find the living water that quench their thirst, that stop their hunger. And if that person is another believer, let's do it in such a way, with a gentleness and with a love. If we don't do that kind of thing with a love, we too will fall into that trap. Galatians 6:1. All right, next application. We are still in work in progress. God is still finishing you and me, and don't be impatient. Don't feel like that it's over just because you are not where you need to be yet. Amen?